You look at the end of 2 Chronicles 26 and verse 36 and verse 21, you'll see that they went into exile while the land regained all the Sabbaths. So the 70 years that Israel was in exile in Babylon, not even in the land, not in the place they were supposed to be, was because they didn't obey God's plan for rest. You think, wow.
Wow.
And Hebrews goes on even further, doesn't it?
It does. It says in Hebrews 4, verses 9 to 11, it says, "There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience." So God wants us to rest.
Yeah.
He doesn't want us to be disobedient and not rest. And we live in a world that is very fast-paced. There is always something to do. There is always, you know, a text message or a phone call or a WhatsApp or a Facebook. How many times does your phone ping? You know, there's always something that calling our attention, and we have to deliberately stop and we have to rest.
That's right. And you know, it was a real challenge to Claire and I to take a sabbatical. When it was suggested, we were like, when, how, can't see. It didn't make sense. To have 8 weeks going away took a bit of a miracle. One, for me to even say yes to it.
Yes.
But two, you see, we looked at, and we looked at the finances of the church, and we're like, how? We couldn't see in the natural how we could do those things. And that's the extraordinary thing, is as we began to say yes, God began to line things up for us. And see, this is the thing. You say yes to God's plans, then he lines things up. He never lines them up until you start saying yes. Mm-hmm. You've got to get yourself in line with God's word if you want to see the miracles. So this morning, you know, we might be saying a lot of stuff, but I'm just throwing some stuff out there. You need to grab hold of it. And maybe for you this morning, this is something about the rest that you need to receive into your body. That actually maybe there's tiredness issues. Maybe there's rash or allergies. There's things that are just not quite working. And God's going, you need my rest. You need to receive from me so that you can get your healing.
And then while we were away, somebody lent us a car for the whole time that we were in Tulsa, which was brilliant because in America, they drive everywhere, even just to the restaurant around the corner. We tried walking one day and there wasn't a footpath to get from the side of the road into the restaurant, was there?
That was dangerous.
We had to walk where the cars go. Yeah. Anyway, we had some interesting times. And we were given some personal gifts. We got to house sit for a couple. We arrived, and the day after, they went away for a two-week vacation, and we had their whole house to ourselves, which was brilliant. And they loved that somebody was sitting their house. So that worked really well.
Someone else gave us a house by the lake.
Yes, which was amazing. Yeah. Beautiful place.
And even the cabin that we hired up in the mountains, we got that at half price. So it was like, yeah, God's extraordinary favor was on us.
And some people gave us some money as well while we were out there, didn't they?
So here's a bit of a snapshot, because we know we need to kind of keep moving here. A bit of a snapshot of our sabbatical. We were in two different countries. So we took 8 flights to 2 different countries, France and the States.
We drove 2,086 miles in 4 different cars, visited 8 different locations, and slept in 8 different beds.
That's right. We attended 12 services at 8 churches in 3 states, and obviously France as well was one of them, so I forgot about that one.
We went behind the scenes at 4 churches.
We even attended 7 classes at Rhema, at the Bible College, while we were there. It was their last week of term.
Yeah, we spent 3 days with other senior leaders at a Boom Network conference hosted by Jeff and Beth Jones, discussing Easter and church service planning, being culture carriers and key influencers, media relevance, succession planning, youth and children's ministry, and financial planning. We covered a lot.
Yeah.
And I have to say, this is an amazing group of people. We had a fantastic time. Yeah.
Yeah. And do you know what? We found ourselves among peers. We found ourselves. Some of them had massive churches and ministries, but they were listening to us and getting wisdom from us just as much as we were from them. Mm-hmm. And you know, God's been working some stuff in us, and just as he is in you. Mm-hmm. Good to listen to other people, because then you start to realize that you have got something to give.
Yeah. So we met up with some people.
Yeah.
It was great to have lunch with Lisa Cook, following up from their visit in March. And we had a surprise lunch with John Grunwald, who was there.
He's the head of Rhema over the whole of Europe and North Africa. Whole of Africa too, sorry.
Yeah.
So he's over a third of the world.
Yeah.
Spent time with us.
And we met some missionaries from Turkey that we're going to connect with Matt and Julie. So it was good. God's working everywhere.
So
we spent 6 days up the mountain praying and planning, followed by another 3 by the lakeside. And I have to say, that lakeside was amazing. So it's you now, babe.
Oh, is it? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so it is. So we were just thinking about kind of the things that impacted us in the time, us personally. And, you know, going up the mountain actually was about time for Claire and me. You know, we've been seeing all these things and vision planning and ideas and just getting a bit of time to actually talk with Claire. You know, we actually had some critical conversations. You know, the kind of conversation you put off because you don't really want to tackle the issues? We had the time to actually talk things through, work things through, and actually come to a place of agreement on some stuff that actually we've been shoving to the side. Mm-hmm. And see, that's what happens when you take time with God. Mm-hmm. He will work some stuff that actually is maybe not quite working. You're complaining, oh God, why aren't you doing this? But if you don't take the time, God can't actually show you why it's not quite working. Mm-hmm. And see, that's what happened. The two of us, we got time. You know, we were pretty much in unity. We weren't out of sync, but we just hadn't actually tackled some stuff.
Yeah.
And so I kind of walked away from that going, yeah, we got some attitude adjustments, and particularly about even our use of our tongues. Mm-hmm. Because we're pretty hot most of the time, but we began to complain about some stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so for me, one of the most things that we saw that impacted me was we went to a church, a Victory Church in Tulsa, and they have the churches are huge, okay, but they have a whole area dedicated for special needs children, and it was just the most amazing place. It's called the Champions Club. And when you go in, there is a welcome area for the children and the parents. There's a sensory room. There was the actual classroom, which has lots of fine motor skill stuff. And then there was a room for large motor skills. So children who couldn't sit still, they would take them into this room so they could use up all their energy, and then they could come back and join in. But I loved the way that they had really thought about what they did. Every child, it was one-to-one. They had the cards, which, you know, identify what why the child reacts. Well, how do they calm down? Allergies. It was such a well thought out thing. But the reason it impacted me is because it's one when you have a special needs child, you know, one of the things you do is you stay away from church because you're embarrassed or you don't know how other people are going to react. And they have created a safe environment. And because of that, they have parents coming to church who know that they can leave their child and their child is safe. And I really want to explore that as a church, how we can create that safe environment for special needs children.
That's right. In fact, actually, we've already looked at the plans and we've worked out some for Studio 4 how to put a sensory room in there, because we believe that actually it's a key for us for the future and for this city. We want to do something that is unique, something that... Anyway, I'm going to get ahead of myself if I'm not careful.
Okay, so we were given by the trustees 3 things to do. We were the personal, refresh and strengthening, perspective, 5 ways to grow, Go Church, and prayer, the next 10 years, personal and church. So did we achieve these? So first one, Alan, refresh and strengthen. Were we refreshed?
I think so. I think I've come back definitely a bit more with it. I may have put on a little bit of weight with all the food, but we've already got a chance. We couldn't go walking places. It was kind of interesting on that one. But we had time with my parents. You know, we only get to see my parents usually once a year, and we haven't seen them for 2 weeks, for a period of 2 weeks. For over 10 years. We've not had 2 weeks with my parents over 10 years. So to have 2 weeks with my parents, and my mum's 80th birthday, celebrated with her, and we just kind of, that was just really key. And she's had cataract replacements since then, and just doing well. But got to preach in their church, but they'd said, please don't ever do anything in our area in France until we're dead. And then they organized for us to go and preach in the church. And in fact, I actually didn't just preach in the church. I had to lead the entire service, including praying in French.
You did a fabulous job. It was amazing.
Not quite know how I managed that, but I did.
So we slept, we walked along the beach, we read, we relaxed. And, you know, it was great not having the responsibility of the church, knowing that it was in safe hands with our leadership here and with Pastors Matt and Julie. So we had lots of fun, including going to a cinema with reclining seats. It was like being at home in your sitting room.
Our seats don't recline.
What else did we do? Sheltered from tornadoes and dodged floods. That was quite an experience. No time now. Let's move on.
Come on.
Next.
We ate loads of good food. Claire even got to eat crab. She was desperate to go and eat crab before she went out. I mean, look at the size of that. That's just the pincer bit.
No, she's talking about the milkshake, darling.
Oh, the milkshake. Yeah. I made the mistake. I said large fries and a milkshake, and I got a large milkshake. The fries were large, but the milkshake was...
And we managed to have 9 Mexican meals.
Oh, yes.
So, yeah, we had lots of fun. Okay, so what about 5 ways to grow church?
But don't forget, not only we go up the mountain, but climb the mountain to get into bed.
Yeah.
The beds were so high, I clearly did a leg up.
But anyway. So, did we discover 5 ways to grow Go Church?
Yes. Well, 5 ways that we are going to begin. So we'll start to say a couple of things here. We're not going to announce 5 new changes to the church. Just calm down, everybody. 5 areas that we see that God wants to bring challenge, adjustment to us as a team. So we're going to be working some stuff out with you guys. So the very first one, we've been behind the scenes. We're looking at these different churches in Tulsa, Flowood. And before that, we went to Saddleback. And when we were out there, it was like, great, yeah, the welcome and hospitality was outside. Beautiful palm tree. That looked amazing. Not quite sure that would work here, to have hospitality outside. Maybe once a year. But the service was full of the Spirit. You know, for a seeker-friendly church, mm-hmm. when the pastor prayed, the Holy Spirit just hit the place. Mm-hmm. And he was like, yeah, come on. We need to believe that we can be seeker and Spirit-friendly. Mm-hmm. And it's just a real challenge that actually, and this is what we're doing. We try to demystify things in this church. We try to not use loads of jargon. Mm-hmm. But are we helping people mm-hmm. in worship, in helping people? And
So the 4 churches that we went to, they're all growing significantly. They're being innovative in their outlook, and they're creating a strong culture in their churches. And these are the ones that we had the tours in. And, you know, when we had the tours, they gave us a freedom to ask lots of questions and to discover not what they're doing, not just what they're doing, but why. Why have they decided to do that? Not because we want to copy them, but we want to get a heart and a spirit behind why they're doing particular things. Because they're growing, and we know that as a church, we need to grow. So we were drawing on wisdom from others and getting fresh ideas.
Yeah.
So we wrote out a list of common things that we noticed in all the churches, and that helped us to consider 5 ways that we can grow here.
That's right. First one was the growth track. You know, there was a comment was made, no one should ever have to ask what their next step here is. And it kind of made me realize, actually, I might have it. And in fact, actually, Mark and the leadership team were talked some things through, even the structure of the organization. And they were trying to put the structure together that I had talked everybody through a while back, and they couldn't put it together at first. And I realized the difference between what I think I've said and everybody's perception, sometimes there's a gap. So some of the reasons that we've been doing these things with the walls and the idea is to be able to put some of that vision on the walls, some of those plans, to make it plain, but also understand the difference between discipleship and actually partnership, you know, because we kind of combine those two a bit. Mm-hmm. So how you get connected with the church is one thing, mm-hmm. But then the discipleship, you see, you don't want to just join church, you want to grow. Mm-hmm. And actually, we have a lot of stuff that we've been doing that I don't know if you all know. And so that's what we're going to do. We're going to spend a bit of time with the leadership team, making it really clear, these are the steps that will help you grow.
Yes. And we're looking at, aren't we, internships?
Yep.
We're also looking at more training for everybody, really, because we want everybody to have that option to train, not just leaving it to a training center, but actually training here so that we all become better and we all become the leaders that God wants us to be.
That's right. Second one was the life groups and small groups. And, you know, daring to relook at our system. You know, 12 years ago when we launched the life groups, it was fresh, it was new, it had a lot of life in it. Has it gone tired? Some groups are really working well, some groups not so. So, you know, a lot of these other churches, they're working with age-based or time-of-life groups, you know, those were young families, those who are empty nesters. And they're kind of like, you know, what's that challenge at? Because we don't want to just do the things the way we've always done them. Maybe the seasons, we need to stir things up. What I love is about doing Alpha and the life groups. Hasn't that stirred you up? You've been doing life groups certain ways. So Alpha, maybe it's a season of Alpha, and maybe some groups have done it and others haven't, and that's okay. We're not kind of going, everything has to be the same. But what we're going is, are we intentional? Are we planning for the future? Mm-hmm. And we see that we're going to take some time with this, not just announce today, whole part of changes, because some groups are really working well, and we don't want to ruin something that's working well. We want to improve if it isn't quite working. We want to sharpen things.
Mm-hmm. So the third thing is, I know we're rushing through these. There is a lot more detail, but we need time to unpack this and work it through. The one thing that we did really notice and is about e-church presence. And I just want to read something to you. Why 400 years of silence between the Old Testament and the New Testament? Answer, God's timing. The Greek invasion brought a common language to the world. The Roman invasion brought roads and travel. Now the gospel can go across the whole world. The internet is the new road and language. Why would you avoid using it? And you know, I think Alan and I, some ways, we've shied away. These are some of the honest conversations we've had. We've shied away a little bit from e-church stuff because whatever we do, we want it to be excellent. We want it to be good. We don't want things that are just half-hearted and don't work. We want something that is good, but we are reflecting that we might have missed opportunities and that we need to look at how we're using eChurch. And one of the main reasons for that is we were challenged by something somebody said while we were away, was there are so many people. When you think of regular, and I know we've said this before, back in the day, regular was going to church every week. But for a lot of people, regular now is not coming to church every week. It's coming to church once every 3 weeks, or once a month has become the regular. So how are we helping you connect when you can't come to church because of your work schedule? What have we got there? What e-presence do we have so that it enables you to connect on the Sunday that you can't come to church for whatever reason? So these are things that we want to explore and we want to look at. And we want to look at how we make some of our teaching available. And Fiona's going, hallelujah, finally, at last. They've got it. Well, if it took a sabbatical, well, praise God. But one of the other quotes was, the future of adult ministry is online. Whether we like it or not, we have to respond. But the future of children's ministry is where the bricks and mortar are. Then the parents will also come. So there is actually a challenge to be doing something online as well as to be making sure that we have something amazing for our children next door. We do have amazing children's ministry, but we need to really make it better and better and better.
Come on, that's right. And keeping the main thing the main thing. You know, I think sometimes we forget in the busyness, we're doing all the midweek stuff and the life groups, and I think that some of our effort on Sundays has not been quite at the level it should have been. You know, the reality is I get incredibly busy, and I you know, whether it's finances or whether we're seeing people, and actually, you know, some of these guys that we're talking are taking 2.5 days to prepare a sermon, but they do lead churches of 2,000 and 5,000. And you're thinking, maybe there's a reason why they've reached that level. That amount of prayer, that amount of time in the sermon prepping, and the sharpness of that to do 5 services on a Saturday and a Sunday because their church is growing like crazy. Mm-hmm. Are you ready for double services? Mm-hmm. It's like, actually, one of the things that we're doing, as you noticed, we've been sharpening things up a little bit. Well, God wants to actually work that better in how I'm preaching and how we're preparing.
It's all about becoming uncluttered. It's becoming simplified. It's keeping the focus. It's concentrating. You know, we have 52 events a year, Sunday morning.
Easter Sundays, not just once a year.
52 Easter Sundays. Every Sunday is important. You know, and a really good question to ask yourself, especially if you're serving on a team, is what can I do to make next Sunday better? Mm-hmm. How can I make the team I'm part of better next week? And if every Sunday we asked ourselves that question, then we're looking at a little change each week. Not a great big change, but a little change each week so that we become better and better and better and better. And so that's something we'd really like you to ask yourself every Sunday. How can I as a team member work better next week? How can I help my team work better next week? But you know, I was thinking we can take that even further and go, how as a family can I make Sunday better next week so that I'm here on time, or I'm here ready, or I'm more available to serve? You know, how can I make it better?
Or even when you've come on the way home, you actually go, and what Bible verses did you get for the kids? Actually, draw the kids' teaching. Find out. You might find that what they're hearing is what you're hearing, and vice versa. You know, actually, it starts to link. And you see, because one of the things that God has really been challenging Claire and I a little bit about is, what is our USP? What is our unique selling point? What is it that as a church marks us different? You see, every church is trying to see the lost saved, the found discipled, and the called sent. You know, it's kind of that three thing that every church tries to do. We call it love, grow, go. That's our values. In a simple message, love goes and finds people, rescues them, delivers them, helps them, cares. Mm-hmm. But that love is the environment that makes people grow in, because it doesn't just keep them where they are. It helps them to grow. Mm-hmm. It helps us all to grow. Yeah. And you kind of that thing. That then means that we've then got to go and do something, because if you love people and you've grown, you've got to do something with it. Mm-hmm. You can't just sit there and expect other people to do all the work. Mm-hmm. And God's really challenging us as a church in that. What's our unique selling point? Why did you come to this church? Mm-hmm. Actually, we're going to ask the stewards right now, while we continue this sermon, hand out a piece of paper to everybody.
They might have been given it as
Or you might have been given it on the way
in. Might have been given a small piece of paper. Sorry, it's not very fancy. Yeah, just like this, a small slip of paper. And because we want you to help us in shaping the church as we grow. It's not about Alan and Claire shaping the church. It's about us all working together as a team. We all have a part. And so just very quickly, we'd love you to write, why do you come to Go Church Manchester? What is it that attracts you here? It could just be one word. But just write down, why do you come to Go Church Manchester?
And we'll just give the people a chance to do that. So we're going to keep talking. We're going to keep things. But you see, when we focus on our strengths, we do well. What happens a lot of time is we try and compensate for weaknesses. Now, it's good to look at the weaknesses, but it's better to work with your strengths. Mm-hmm. And there are things that this church is known for. And it's interesting, as you know, what do we think that is? Why do we come to Go Church Manchester?
Yeah.
But the other thing, what has it been like?
Yeah, but hold on. We haven't told them that. To me, this is the best quote of the whole thing. And I love it. It's leverage the strength, be known for that, and become the driver for that in the community. Mm-hmm. Leverage the strength. And so what we're asking you is helping us see why you come. What is the strength of Go Church Manchester? Because we need to be known for that in the community.
Yeah, and we've got our ideas, but we want to hear
what
you've
got
to say.
Yeah, we have our ideas, yeah.
All right. But do you know that the fifth, sorry, that was number five, but we threw an extra one in because we found ourselves going to different places as a first-time guest. And kind of almost, not quite sneaking in, but when you go somewhere you've never been, and I can't remember, it's a long time ago since I was a first-time guest here. Going somewhere where you don't know, into these big churches, and you're like, do I park here? Where do I go? What do I? It made us rethink about our welcome and our plans here, and you know that awkwardness. Can you remember what it was like first time you came here? And do you remember where to park? And you see, we actually are fairly good with our welcome. In fact, actually, we do at least as good as most of the big churches.
If not better in some cases.
Thumbs up, everybody.
Yeah.
Yes.
But do you think we can improve? Because that's what struck me. It was like, actually, do you know what? Finding us here, working out what God's doing, that is just so hard for new people to actually dare to come into church. And you know, that seat that's beside you that's empty, God's got someone in mind for.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
God's got a plan for that seat to be filled, not just so that we have a big church, because he cares about that person. Mm-hmm. He has his names of these people written on the palms of his son's hand.
Yeah.
And that really struck us. I know this has been a really quick overview.
So before we move on, has everybody done that? Has everybody written why they come here? Does anybody need a piece of paper or a pen? There's some over here that need to get collected. So if you can just, when you've done that, if you can just place them in the bowls that will go by, that would be great.
And this isn't your last opportunity. You know, maybe when you get home, you think, oh, actually, I should have written that. Just send it in an email to Mark. Not to me.
So there is so much detail. We haven't got time. This is very quickly to go over these things. But we're going to be asking you more questions over the coming weeks. We're also going to be creating a couple of task forces to look at the particular areas, people who are passionate about those areas, so that we can really discover more and then work together as a team.
And then the final priority that we were given was about prayer and really the next 10 years. You see, We read this book was given to us, and it had this interesting question. Are you the pastor who will see Jesus return, or are you so confident that you can refuse bodily death and stay relevant for the next 200 years? No. In that case, succession is an inevitable issue. What legacy are you planning for? I was like, oh my goodness. You know, and actually I was thinking, 10 years' time, I'm going to be 65. Claire won't be.
Thank you, darling.
And I was just thinking, at 65, how will we have grown as a church? What will this church look like? And that brought us to really quite an excitement in our hearts about the future. Because one of the changes we want to see for us is to stop doing and start leading a bit better. Good leaders lead, great leaders grow. And I was thinking, the point is not just that they're growing themselves, but they're growing the church. And I think we've been doing a lot of leading. Mm-hmm. And maybe a bit
lot of doing.
And I think, you know, we're going to see a lot of churches planted. So so we've got just four smart goals.
Can I say something first, though, please? I know you're trying to do this quickly, but I just want to say, you know, if we're going to plant churches, then we need to grow leaders. So in this congregation now are leaders.
Yes.
Maybe some of you will plant churches. Maybe some of you will be leaders in those churches. Maybe some of you will be leaders in this church, in whatever capacity, because there's different levels of leadership. And we need to grow leaders. And so that's part of what Alan and Claire's focus needs to be. Not the doing, but the training to raise people up ready to go and accomplish great things.
That's right. So we wrote some smart goals at the start of the year, some things we had in mind, and we really felt God was sort of challenging us. We put 40 salvations. Now, I know that we've seen 10 so far. I think 8 just over the couple of weeks over Easter. So we kind of like, right, we need to reset that to 50 for the year. We need to not go, oh, isn't that great? But we need to push for the more. There's more people to see saved. But leaders, we believe in that God wants us to raise 4 new pastors, 20 plus new leaders, because over the next 10 years, we're going to be 65. We're going to plant a lot of churches. That's going to take some pastors. So far, we've raised 3 leaders who are now pastoring churches. Well, we can't do that over the next 12 years. We need to do 4 in the next 5 years. Not 4 over the 12 years that we've just taken. Mm-hmm. We've got to really start to accelerate some stuff. The building. You know, we've been working at the Studio 4. And Claire and I, we kind of realized while we've been away, we stopped speaking to the building, commanding it to be done. We've stopped calling finances in, and we started working with what we had. Do you know what? You're not enough. I'm not enough for the vision. Mm-hmm. It's God has a big, big vision. And do you know what? We're going to see it finished in 2 years. We're going to see this whole building finished, and then we'll start to look at what next in 2 years. Debts are going to get cancelled. We've paid off a lot of the debt. Mm-hmm. But you know what? We're going to be debt-free. 2021, the end of 2021 for Claire and me is a significant year. Our mortgage will be cleared. How about we believe together, for our church mortgage to be cleared by then? Mm-hmm. Come on. You see, that the drain on the resource and the offerings and the... Hang on. Come on. What about your mortgage? Mm-hmm. Or having the ability to buy a house? Mm-hmm. What about you? You see, what I know, when one person gets breakthrough, many do. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How about we believe together for some really significant things? Mm-hmm. Yeah? So there's, you know, what's our church known for? One of those things is the ministry among the Farsi. How many of them are still here? Because they need to go and get jobs. No, no, this is a good place.
Yes, come on.
Is a good place for our people to get jobs. This is a city for everyone to receive a job in.
Yeah.
So we need to pray for our city. We need to get excited about our city again. I know Claire and I have. When we first came, we were speaking and calling that we'd have MPs and we'd have councillors. And we saw that, so we stopped saying it. No! Come on, it's time for that even more.
Yes, come on.
It's time to address and speak and use our tongues. Revitalize our language.
That's right.
Fire ourselves back up.
Yeah.
God has a plan, not just for me, not just for you, not just for this church, for this city and for this nation. And God is calling us to actually line up. But it was from a place of rest. You see, God wants us to receive so that you can then speak. How can you speak unless you listen? And what God's done with us, he's taken his time. We've had to work some things through. Hey, we don't line up on that. We say this, but we're not lining up and doing it. So we kind of reset the week a little bit. So how are we going to get the time to actually do the energy or the weight reduction? But you see, Claire's now able to walk better.
Woo-hoo.
And so we can go on walks again. We have been able to a couple of times. And so we did 8,000, 10,000 step walks and stuff. Claire couldn't do 2,000 before. Couldn't. I slowed down because I was stupid. Well, I stayed with my wife. And the reality is I've gotten fat. I think as a church...
Look, this is honest. We're being honest. Honest.
I think as a church, we need to get lean.
Yes,
energy shifting. So if you see me eating too many donuts...
If you see him eating one donut...
Oh! You see, God's got great things, and our best years are ahead of us. You've not seen God's best yet.
Yeah, that's right.
We've not seen God's best yet. Yeah. And I'm not just saying that to rile or work you up. God's word says this. So you might have seen some good stuff, but God wants to do immeasurably
more.
Above and beyond.
Yes.
What we can ask or imagine.
That's right.
So let's get back out of settled life. Let's get out of the work rut. Take the time with God. Maybe this is the challenge for each of the members of this church. Are you really taking time out with God? Is it next Sunday there's the family prayer in the evening? Is it the Sunday after? Two Sundays' time, we've got family prayer. As we're praying for the outreach and all the things that are happening, take the evening. Guard it, protect it, take some time. What's God going to speak to you when the kids are praying? Next Sunday, go kids, go big. This place is going to be taken over by our children. There's going to be energy, it's going to be buzzing. Are you going to be thinking, oh no, it's the kids again? Or are you going to come early, ready to receive, just like you do when I say there's a guest minister or when there's, I've got a word for you. You see, if you understand the power in the voice of the kids, God said he uses the voice of the children to silence the enemy. Are you ready for God to do some miracles next week? Our kids are.
Yeah.
They're ready to minister. And I just, you know, just as right now, maybe you need to reset some stuff in your mind. How's your weekly planning going? How's your monthly planning? How's your annual planning?
Where's your rest?
Where's your place of rest? So let's just close our eyes. Heavenly Father, You are the God of this entire place. You've ordered it and you've planned it for our good. And we want to stay. We want to enter that rest. We don't want to be full of self-effort. And we just, this morning, want to say, you are our Lord. Mm-hmm. You're our God. You're the one we trust. Forgive us, Father, when we've got into workaholism, when we've got into self-effort, when we've given up on the vision and the ideas that you've given us, when we've let the grind and the grinches and all the rubbish that's happened around us get us down. Father, we ask for your peace. This Father's Day, we ask for your peace. We ask for you to lead us afresh. Show us how to adjust life. And Father, we pray for these points that we talked about, Lord, for people to step up, mm-hmm. for a willingness in this church. And Father, we want to take that first one, which is salvation, serious. You saved us for a purpose. You have good plans. And I just want to make that challenge this morning. If you don't know Christ, if you don't know what's going to happen to you, if the end of the world happened tonight and we all found ourselves before God, do you know what he's going to say to you? God wants you to have that confidence. He wants you to not just have the confidence if the world ends, but he wants you to have that confidence that he's got a plan for you for life, mm-hmm. for tomorrow. Sometimes we don't look at what that could look like. And God's just making that challenge this morning. Do you know Christ? Do you know what it is to be led by him? Do you know what it is to have him help you to have holiday? Help you have fresh vision. Help you actually restore strength. Do you know what God is like? Do you know how good he is? If you don't know him this morning, I just want to ask you to just take that time to go, Lord, I want that. I want to make that invitation. You know there's a party in heaven when anyone gives their life to the Lord? The angels get excited. And we're going to change how we do salvation calls in this church. Starting from next week onwards, we're not going to just ask you to come up the front. We're not going to just say, put your hands up while everybody's eyes are closed. We're going to do something different. We're going to go, everybody open your eyes. Because someone's about to give their life to the Lord and make a public declaration. Mm-hmm. And God is speaking to hearts this morning and saying, I'm getting you ready for that for next week. I'm getting you ready for that in a week's time. I'm getting you ready. I'm getting the person you've been praying for ready. Because there's going to be a party in this place when people give their life to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And this morning, I just want to make it simple. I know most of the people in this church are saved today. But I just want to give you that opportunity. If you want to give your life to the Lord, just raise your hand. If you know that God has been speaking to you this morning and just touching your life, yeah. See, mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, we want to give you our lives afresh. We want to present you our lives for you to lead and guide and control, mm-hmm. to infuse with energy. Mm-hmm. And in the name of Jesus, we give you that permission to lead us and guide us. And not only the permission, but we say to you today, Lord, what you say, we say yes to, we will follow. follow. Mm-hmm. We will follow you. We won't just say, yes, Lord, but we will do what you are saying because we agree your ways are better than ours. Mm-hmm. And in Jesus' name, as a church, we say, amen. Let it be so. Let it be so.